It's about that time. This is the Questions Hip Hop Podcast. My name is Sean Kantrowitz, and this week's episode is a classic pull from the Questions archives. That's right, I'm working to pull all of the gems out of the digital crates so that they can have a more permanent and easy to access home. This week's guest is comedian, DJ, podcast host, and hip hop fixture Cypher Sounds. And it was originally broadcast on Instagram Live on August 3rd, 2020. Juan Epstein is the name of the podcast that Syph and his co-host and former Questions guest, Peter Rosenberg, started years ago. And I want to take this moment to shout them out and give them credit as being one of the first, if not the first, hip-hop podcasts. It's definitely been interesting to track their progression. And if you are somehow listening to this right now, but have never heard their show, you can check it out. It's now called Juan Ep is Life. I am a regular listener and a fan. And hey, if you're a fan of this show and you want to get even more from it, I invite you to join the Questions Hip Hop Patreon. There's a link in the episode notes, or you can go to patreon.com/thequestionshiphop if you're one of those people who prefers to type in your own web addresses. I suspect if you're one of those people, you probably also don't like to stop and ask for directions. Though I guess that's probably a thing that happens less and less these days anyway, because everybody has phones with GPS, but I digress. The Patreon is where you can get exclusive episodes, early access to episodes, bonus content from episodes, video, music, articles, and written pieces by yours truly, and you're joining a squad of hip-hop enthusiasts who are always down to chat and trade music recommendations. It's kind of like social media, but without trolls or an algorithm. What a concept, right? Shout out to the members of the Patreon. Appreciate you all for helping support this show. So let's hop right into it. This is a classic episode of the Questions Hip Hop Trivia with special guest Cypher Sounds.
Who did it first? Who did it best? Who did it worst? That's the question. Who rapping there? That remix, and what happened when? That's the question.
And let me ask you a question.
And if you ain't know what needs, then my guy's knowing what you need. Some answers to the question.
Are you doing this from inside a bunker right now? It's very choppy.
Okay. I'm at the Comedy Cellar.
And you're in the cellar specifically.
No, I'm outside. I was in the Comedy Cellar and then it started pouring rain and people were playing Drake on their Bluetooth. So I had to come in my car to get the silence that we need.
That's fair. That makes sense. Well, we're happy to have you. So how are you? You're at the Comedy Cellar. So
yeah.
Are things opening up a little bit? Are things feeling a little bit more back to normal?
They just opened up for outside seating for food. No comedy.
No comedy. Oh, so you're just out there eating. You're not even doing jokes right now.
This is my home. This is just where I always am.
Yeah, it must be great because obviously you haven't been able to hang out there in a minute.
The moment they opened up, I was ready. I was the first one here getting my food, hanging out.
Syph, we are so happy to have you on the show today. We love hip hop and we love to laugh, and you are the epitome of both of those. So we're thrilled. You know, a lot of people in your circle have been on the show before. We had Rosenberg.
Yeah.
We had, you know, some of your contemporaries like, you know, Questlove. We've had, you know, other people. So you're in a long line of contestants here, and we just like to have a good time, talk our shit, and, you know, get into it. So if you're ready to do it, you want to get into this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. All right, so we're going to get into it, and our first round is called The Choice is Yours. This is general multiple choice. Okay. Syph, I will also say you can use the chat. Some people rely on the chat. Some people shun the chat, but it is an option that you have. All right.
Okay.
Our first question. On the intro to Wu-Tang Clan's Method Man threatens to stab someone's tongue with what? Is it a dull knife, a rusty screwdriver, a piece of glass or a dirty fork?
I'll stab it with a rusty screwdriver. B.
I'll fucking pull your fucking tongue out your fucking mouth and stab the shit with a rusty screwdriver.
That is correct. That's a skit, I would say, right? Like, it doesn't really pose itself as, like, trying to be comedy, but what are some of your, as somebody who went from the world of music to the world of comedy and sort of occupied both, what are some of your favorite skit or comedy moments on hip-hop albums?
I mean, I think the best to ever do it is De La Soul. De La Soul. I like De La Soul is Dead album. The whole album is like a theme, like with this game show kind of thing happening. Their skits were always the greatest. The Wu-Tang ones with where Ghostface and Raekwon beat the drug dealer up and then Ghostface gets shot.
Yeah.
Like, the acting was so horrible, but it was like these real life situations. Yeah, any funny ones like that, I love.
Amazing. Well, you know, you're talking about De La Soul, and a big part of those skits on De La Soul is Dead is Prince Paul, and that is what our next question is about. Prince Paul has worked on 3 Grammy-winning albums by who? Is it Gravediggaz, Handsome Boy Modeling School, Chris Rock, or De La Soul?
Grammy-winning?
Grammy-winning.
Ooh. I don't know this one, but I'm going to have to take a guess and say Chris Rock.
He's going Chris Rock. Chris Rock is correct.
Yes.
Chris Rock has won 3 Grammys for Best Comedy Album, and Prince Paul produced all 3 of them. Yeah, yeah. If you made it out, I know you've been to some of the Chappelle Farm shows, right?
Yeah.
And am I correct in remembering that Chris Rock has been out to one of those? Were you there?
Yeah, he was supposed to go the week I went, and then he canceled. And he actually went the next week when I didn't go. But I saw him at the Comedy Cellar afterwards, and he said he loved it so much, and he wants to go back.
What is that vibe like? Like, are these open to the public? Like, are people like, or is it like on some secret you have to know? Like,
there's you got to be on some kind of Dave Chappelle Live Nation list, but it's open to the public. Like, they're selling tickets.
Oh, okay. And have you been doing stand-up by those or DJing or both?
Stand-up.
Or neither. Just saying, stand-up. Yeah, yeah.
Stand-up, yeah.
Stand-up. Amazing. Amazing. All right, we're going to move on to our next question, Sife. 2 for 2. So far, we're good. What is the 4th crack commandment in Notorious B.I.G.'s 10 crack commandments? Is it never let them know your next move? Never keep no weight on you? Never get high on your own supply? Or keep family and business completely separated? What is the 4th crack commandment?
I'm going to say never get high on your own supply.
All right, let's hear it. I've got it queued up here.
But before, don't give her existence for never get high on your own supply.
That is correct. Yes.
Come on.
I don't know any verses from the Bible. I don't actually know many of the actual 10 commandments, but I do know all 10 of the crack commandments.
It's something about not sleeping with your neighbor's wife. I think that's one of them.
Yeah, that's not a crack commandment, so I can't really tell you.
No.
Sounds big to me.
Here's the funny thing about the crack commandments. When I used to DJ for Little Kim, I met Jacob, the one who could hook a steak up.
Did he hook it up?
He never hooked up a steak up while I was around.
Follow-up question, were you able to infer this, or did somebody say to you afterwards, like, yo, that's the steak guy? Or did he introduce himself as like, hey, I'm Jacob, I can hook a steak up?
No, the line that Biggie said was way after I had met him.
Oh, okay, so you knew him pre-steak fame. You knew this
when
was Jacob.
When I heard the song, I was like, I know Jacob.
Didn't know. He could cook a steak up. Good for him. It's good that it's really cool that he wasn't rubbing it in people's faces when he was meeting them, too. All right. Very good. We're moving on to the final question in our first round, Sight to Sounds.
Okay.
Which of these artists did not appear on all 3 of Raucous Records' classic sound bombing compilations? Is it Pharoah Monch, R.A. the Rugged Man, Mos Def, or Talib Kweli, who did not appear on all three of the Sound Bombing compilations?
Wow, that's a rough one. I'm going to say R.A. the Rugged Man.
He says R.A. The answer is Pharoah Monch. Pharoah Monch is the only one to not appear on all three. That was, you know, we had to pull out some stumpers for you there, Syph, because you have the backpack pedigree. You were an intern, or not an intern, A&R, sorry, A&R at Raucous. Walk us through your sort of journey, like, of between backpack and not backpack, because you kind of floated in between those worlds. Where did you feel sort of most comfortable?
I don't like all the lines that people put in hip hop. Like, I could listen to, I like party hip hop. I could go to a commercial hip hop club, and I could also listen to Stretch Armstrong and Bobbito at the time, you know? So I think what did it for me that got to divide it was, like, in those days, backpack was Nas, Fugees, you know, Wu-Tang, all the stuff that blew up and became superstars of hip hop in those mid 90s was backpack at one point.
Sure.
So they started drawing these lines of what you can like and what you can't like. And I was like, but Wu-Tang was backpack. The Fugees were backpack, because now hip hop is blowing up. Now they're commercial artists. You know what I'm saying? Nas is the ultimate backpack.
Totally.
Nas Illmatic is the definition of boom bap backpack, but girls liked him because he's cute. So they made it where he became a superstar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's Premier, Large Professor, Pete Rock. You know what I mean? Like, the album is, like, phenomenal backpack hip-hop.
Yeah, and that's as heady as it gets. And a lot of people don't realize, and it's sort of been, like, brought to light later, but, like, a lot of these, like, conscious backpack guys, they were into all that stuff. They were into the commercial music.
Yo, Biggie loved backpack music. It's just that when he got with Puffy made him into this, you know, player superstar. But Biggie loved mixtapes and underground 90s hip hop. It was crazy.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It's so cool that you were able to be there. Do you have like a definitive, like, favorite Raucous moment from your time A&Ring and working sort of with the label there? Anything that stands out?
Yeah, I have so many, but I heard Pharoah Monch, Simon Says before anybody. You know what I'm saying? I was, like, there when Pharoah Monch brought it in.
Wow.
I was so excited that I think Funkmaster Flex would like this song. So I said, can I get that to Flex? I know he'll like it. I know he'll play it. And I run to the radio station. I'm like, Flex, I got something so dope. It's going to be crazy. You're going to love it. And I play it for him, and he goes, Busta just sent me that record 20 minutes ago. I'm like, Busta? Why is Busta involved in this project? So, like, the one time I found a Raucous record that could be a commercial hit,
yeah,
Busta beats me to the point.
Sorry, you were 20 minutes after you heard the song. If you had only been 15, you had
it would kill
you on your top.
Jerk.
Well, all right, we're going to move on to our second round, Cypher. The second round is called Picasso, baby. So in this round, I'm going to show you a small little piece of an album cover, and you have to identify what the album is by the little piece of it that you see. So here's our first one. What album cover is this?
It's a black and white photo of two fists. One hand is adorned by a watch. It appears to be a black man, and this person is making fists. The person who's making those fists, they appear to be wearing a white shirt and a black leather jacket.
Is it Gangstar, No More Mr. Nice Guy, Everlast, Whitey Ford Sings the Blues, Jay-Z, In My Lifetime, Volume 1, or The Clips, Lord Willing?
I'm going to go with Jay-Z, Volume 1. When the
streets is watching, Streets is watching, In My Lifetime, Volume 1, yeah. You know, we talked to Rosenberg about this when he was on the show. You guys sort of reformed, you brought the band back together, the Juan Epstein band, to do the Jay-Z piece last year.
after having done that, is there another artist that you sort of feel like you, whether it is through a podcast, I don't know if you want to work with Rosenberg again. I know you guys have your differences. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm like,
I love Rosenberg.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. But is there another artist that you feel like is worthy, you know, of sort of doing like a deep dive like that?
I would love to do Mos Def. I would love to do Outkast. I would love to do a Biggie one. But like how I just told you how Biggie was into underground hip hop, I would like to do like a Biggie one about things that people don't know about him. When I was DJ for Lil Kim, I was so close to them and Junior Mafia that I used to hear all these stories that never came out. They were just all these stories about Biggie that we don't know about, you know? So that's where I would go with Biggie, like investigative journalism. And I would love to do like Snoop and Dre, but only Chronic and Doggy Style stories. And Dog Pound. I love the Dog Pound. Like, just that moment.
It's an interesting time in like the hip hop podcast space because there are a lot of people getting very granular. Like you guys doing that with Jay-Z. I learned about the Chris Rock thing with Prince Paul because our guy Open Mike Eagle is doing a series right now, and it's a podcast only about Prince Paul. And every episode, him and Prince Paul are talking about a different chapter. So it's kind of cool. And you and Rosenberg kind of kicked off like the flagship of rap nerdery on podcasts with Juan Epstein.
Not kind of. 100% we did that.
I meant you no disrespect, sir. I'm sorry. 100%.
I felt disrespect. I felt it.
Listen, I don't want to get you testy. I know you're in the whip right now. You shouldn't drive angry. I don't know if you're going to drive after this, if you're going back into the cellar. But I don't want you to be angry. But yeah, you guys did completely sort of birth this. This was like the blueprint. I feel like you were a little less like invested in it in the beginning, right? Like, was it more of a Rosenberg thing? And you were just sort of like, all right, let's see what this is.
When we first started it, I didn't know what we were doing. I didn't even know what a podcast was.
Right.
It wasn't that I was less invested. We were just talking. I didn't know it was like going to be like a phenomenon, you know?
Yeah.
Well, when we started doing the interviews, is where like I was like, okay, I could ask my favorite rapper or producer questions I've always wanted to know, but I can't ask on Hot 97 because it's like it's too nerdy.
Right.
And I loved it. I loved it after that.
The nerds have inherited the radio space and the earth. And even I would say even now, like on when I watch like, you know, The Breakfast Club or Hot 97, I feel like because these things now do live so much on YouTube and the internet space, I feel like even they have gotten a little more like granular. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You can get like deeper dive and all that stuff.
Yeah. All right. More questions. Here we go. What album cover is this? Is it Bahamadia, Collage, Lil Kim, La Belle Mafia, Mobb Deep, Blood Money, or Smith & Wesson, Reloaded?
It's an illustration. It's on a bridge at night. There's two guys standing in the background near a black car. There's a $100 bill floating in the foreground, and the sky has an almost greenish, bluish kind of tint.
I'm going to go with, because I don't know it, I'm going to say Smith & Wesson Reloaded.
He's going Smith & Wesson Reloaded. Moment of truth. Let's see what it was. Lil Kim, La Belle Mafia.
Oh!
We had to throw you some curveballs, Syph, because we do know that you are a hip-hop nerd royalty here.
If you showed a piece of the titty, I would have got it.
You know, our sponsors asked that we cut down our titty content by drastically. Quite honestly, I don't even want to get into it because it's still a contentious spot.
I apologize.
It's fine. You know, I insulted you. You got me a little angry, so now we're even. But yeah, you had mentioned earlier you DJed for Kim, you know, and that was like sort of your first like big artist DJ like gig, right?
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting to me is that you've had so many different like chapters and facets. Like, is there anything about what you do now? You are a comedian. You operate like largely in the comedy space. Like, were there even elements of DJing for Lil Kim that taught you things that you use now? Or does it seem like a total clean break?
No.
Like, do this work?
No. The reason why the transition was so easy is because everything I learned from DJing I use in the comedy space. Reading a room, timing. I like to go early and look at the crowd and know what type of set I'm going to do. Do they want old school? Do they want trap? Do they want reggae? So I do the same thing with comedy. Is this like a white suburban crowd and I got to tone down my hip hop stuff? Or is this like a hood crowd that they want all the hip hop stories? Do I curse a lot? Like, is this a clean show? Should I keep it clean? All the same. It's all the same. It's all the same stuff I learned from DJing I applied to comedy. And grab it, rocking the mic as a DJ, same thing with comedy. I control the room with the with my voice.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I totally can see that. Obviously, it's a different type of mic control because you're not screaming at people as a comedian. Or maybe you are. I don't know. Like, I haven't seen a lot of your sets, but like I feel like it's a different approach, right?
It's, yeah, certain things about it different, especially hip-hop is so aggressive. But the funny thing is, I used to crack a lot of jokes when I was DJing. Like, I would say funny stuff in nightclubs, you know, and now it like kind of turned around.
Yeah, I guess you can't really get on the mic and scream at people to get their laughs up or like start laughing, you know?
I can. And like, if I'm doing like an arena with Dave Chappelle or something, then it's like I put on my DJ voice when I first step on the stage.
Right. Yeah.
Can't do it.
That makes sense. Here we go. Last question in our second round, Sipe. What album cover is this? Is it The Far Side, Plain Rap, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, Both Sides of the Brain, Devin the Dude, Sweet 420, or NERD, In Search Of?
It's a close-up of a foot wearing a white sock with three stripes right above the ankle, and this foot, this person is wearing a black slide. There's also a wire cable that's crossing over the foot in the foreground.
Oh, NERD In Search Of. Thank you very much. I think that's Shay's foot.
That is Shay's foot. Absolutely, yes. Correct. Bring that up because you also were doing A&R work for Star Trek for yep. A&R as well. What were those years like? You know, the Neptunes could do no wrong. They were printing money at that point. On fire.
Yeah.
Like, so you were involved in the Clones album? Am I correct about that?
I was there. I did Clones album, which is the Neptunes compilation, Khaleesi's second album, Clip's second album. I think it's Hell Have No Fury.
Yep.
I was there for Supercat album, which never came out. Supercat almost kicked me in the face. He wanted to show me how high he could kick, and it was pretty high. It's pretty high. And then I was there for a bunch of other, Famlay. That was like the one where I was 100% in charge of, never came out. And then I was there for like countless other songs that I saw Pharrell produce for other people. Like, it was the most amazing time.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah, you know, they did sign a lot of people. Obviously, like, you saw a lot. Like, was there anybody, you know, a lot of that music has leaked and things have come out in other like places, but were there any like gems that you sort of wish that had come out, like whether it was the Famlay or things that maybe you weren't involved in, but you heard? Because, you know, a lot of these like guys like Pharrell and Chad, like, you know, they made diss tracks and they're like, this is whatever. And everybody else in the room is like, you're fucking out of your mind. This is like the craziest thing I heard in my life. So is there anything that sort of fits in that space for you?
Okay, I'm going to tell you the bad things about Pharrell.
Let's get into it. Come on, let's go.
The thing about Pharrell was that we hated about him when we worked there was he would make beats for the Clips or Famlay, and they would be so fire. But then he would play them for other people and bigger people.
Yeah.
They wanted Jay-Z, Nelly, Jadakiss. Like, I think Jadakiss, the one Pharrell did for Jadakiss, I forgot what it's called, but it was a Clips record. Like, a finished song. And like, we used to tell Pharrell, stop playing our songs for people.
Right.
You know, but I mean, he was getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, who are we to judge? But a lot of songs were Famlay songs. The Nori song on the Clones album was a Famlay song.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he just takes it. Oh, I've heard a lot of Nori. I've heard a lot of Nori Pharrell unreleased joints that were fire.
I bet. Yeah. There were some regrets.
He loves Nori. He loves Nori.
Yeah. But he'd be like, yeah, we got this beat. I just have to make an adjustment to it. Take the Clips vocals out. Ready to go. Or just tweak the mix for a second. That's amazing. All right, we're going to move on to our third round. So our third round is called Digging in the Crates. So this is our sample round. So I'm going to ask you questions and play you a sample. You have to answer the question about the sample that you hear. So speaking of Nori, amazing, amazing transitions here that we couldn't have even planned for. But in a 2017 interview on the podcast Drink Champs, Wyclef Jean revealed that the guitar riff on Carlos Santana's Maria Maria was inspired by a song by this hip hop group. I'm going to play you the sample now. Was it the Beatnuts, Jungle Brothers, Wu-Tang, or Cypress Hill?
This is a guess. Is there people that can help? How do I
get help? If you guys in the chat want to help Syph out, he's now taking submissions for help.
I'm leaning Cypress Hill, but I just want to see if there's any Latino lingo people here that got the answer for me.
Sure, sure.
Wu-Tang. I don't think it was Wu-Tang. Only reason why I say Cypress Hill is because they're Latin. They had a big rock following. They had instruments.
Yeah.
Oh, Trackstar, the DJ. I love Trackstar. What did he say? He said Wu. Why is it Wu? I'm going to go with... Why are they saying Wu-Tang? All right. All right, I'm going to go with Wu-Tang. C, final answer.
All right.
Oh, rest in peace, Regis. Rest in peace, Regis.
Yep, Regis. Jeez, that was... Yeah. The unofficial 10th member of the Wu-Tang. All right, this is... I'll play you Maria Maria, and then I'll play you the answer again.
Okay.
Wu-Tang was correct.
Whoa!
That was 2017 that Wyclef talked about that. It was one of those things that I was like, I never would have ever noticed that, but now that he pointed it out, I will forever hear it.
Yeah, I never would have heard that.
Yeah, it was based around Ain't Nothing to Fuck With. Shout out to DJ Trackstar for swooping in and saving Syph there. That was a close one.
I love that guy. He's amazing.
Trackstar is great. He's been on our show. He was on pretty early, actually. He was in like one of our first 10 episodes. All right, question number two. Colors of My Dreams by Judy Bailey Quartet was sampled by this rapper for a 2017 single. I'm going to play you that sample, Syph. Is it Rick Ross, Pusha T, Drake, or Conway?
Rick Ross.
You're pretty pivotal in breaking Ross in New York.
Yo, you keep putting these prefaces in front of these sentences. You're not pretty pivotal, 100% pivotal.
My bad. No, I'm trying to project modesty onto you that doesn't suit you well. You were 100%.
No. I was modest for too long. I hate it. I'm going to 2020, the shit year of our lives. I'm going to go unmodest. Let me tell you something. I never take credit for artists' talent and skill. I broke Rick Ross. I broke Rihanna, a couple other people. I'm not saying that they wouldn't have made it without me. But what I can 100% say is that I had a big part in them making it the way they did. Rick Ross, the timing was so perfect. Khaled gave me the record in Miami. Funkmaster Flex was away on a tour, and I got to fill in for him every night. And I broke that record right around Christmas time in New York City. Like, if Funk Flex wasn't on tour, I don't know if I could have played. I wouldn't have had that much air time to play it.
Right.
But all I wanted to do was break that record. And I called Jay-Z personally to tell him about this record and this artist from Miami. And then where did he get signed to? Def Jam.
And plus, if Funk Flex was not on vacation, you know, Busta Rhymes might have gotten to him first. Look, it could have been. Have you been keeping up with these Versus battles?
Yeah.
You know, we got Ross and 2 Chainz going up for us this week. What do you... I mean, I feel like you're kind of biased there, right? I'm guessing your team Raw.
Bro, that one's a tough one. That one's a tough one because the people who Swiss Beats and Timberland, whoever puts these battles together, they do a great job because I would never put Rick Ross and 2 Chainz in the same boat, really. Like, but then when I saw them together, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
and they both have unlimited amounts of records.
Right,
they both have amazing features. They both have like real trap shit, and then also like some real inspiring shit.
Sure,
it's gonna be a good battle.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. They're a lot closer, I think, than we can anticipate, which is kind of how I felt about the Snoop and DMX one, too. I thought that was going to be, like, a landslide, and it was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be.
You thought it would be a landslide which way?
I thought that Snoop was gonna take it without question, and I still think he did emerge the victor, but it sort of reminded me that, like, oh, he wasn't quite as much of a landslide as I thought, but what did you think about that?
Same thing. I thought Snoop was going to win it, but DMX had more joints that I forgot about, like even out, like even his intro that they did one of the intro. And I forgot how those songs used to make me feel. And it made me feel so nostalgic in the moment.
Snoop has sort of been like ubiquitous for a longer stretch of time. I think a lot of people forgot that for like 2 to 3 years, DMX was the biggest artist on the planet. Like, and I know I don't have to tell you that. Obviously, you know, you were in New York at that time.
But Snoop, to me, is the most famous rapper of all time.
DMX isn't doing cooking shows with Martha Stewart, you know? Like,
I think people see Snoop in an airport and never heard even one of his songs, and they know he's Snoop Doggy Dogg. Random Midwestern white people.
Yeah, they're out there. Shout out to Midwestern white people in the house. All right.
Aaron,
you know who you are. All right, last question in this round, Aaron. This Brand Nubian song was used by DJ Premier for the scratch hook on Gangstar's Take It Personal.
At any moment, I will challenge Premier that I can copy those scratches 100% flawlessly, better than him, all for one.
Okay, you're going all for one. Gangstar, Brand Nubian Connection. Scythe, this hurts me to say because you're so confident about it, but the answer is Step to the Rear.
Wait a minute. I misunderstood the question.
Go on.
I thought All for One was the only Brand Nubian song on the list, so I just immediately picked it. But now I realize it's to the rear.
Hindsight is 2020. Listen, we don't have to dwell on that. You're pretty studied. No, let me not even give the whack preface here. You are absolutely unparalleled and completely undeniably studied in DJ Premier's techniques and stuff.
Early technique.
Now, what do you mean? Like, where do you draw the line between early and later, I guess?
Me and Premier, Rosenberg knows this, me and Premier have a situation. I don't like later Premier scratches where he started using multiple phrases for different songs. So my Premier is take it personal. One phrase scratched melodically. Somewhere in there, when Premier blew up, he started doing "It's Live in the 9-5. Get it right on the street. Here we go, y'all. Get it up the top. Yeah, we in the streets, killing it, living live." I don't like that Premier. Like, one phrase scratched with this ill melody.
Right.
To me, I learned how to scratch and do everything in the world because of Gangstar and DJ Premier records. And there's almost no songs where Guru is doing the hook. It's Premier scratching something. But he would scratch these samples like he was playing the guitar. He's the virtuoso of the turntables. And a lot of people have done scratch hooks, never like Premier. So even Premier took a noise. Doot, 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 like a noise and made it a fucking melody.
Yeah.
He's the illest ever to touch the turntables. I don't care. And he was doing that on mixers that were crap. Those mixers back then were crap, and he still killed it. Unlike me with this question.
Listen, you obviously felt very passionate about the subject matter, and you got a little ambitious. But it's fine. We're moving on. It's all good. We are at our final round, Cypher Sounds.
I got ahead of myself.
You got ahead of yourself, but it's fine. There's still time to redeem. So what we do here is I'm going to give you a choice of three categories. You pick one, and you're going to have 90 seconds to answer questions, five questions in that category. Here are tonight's categories. Questions about the word word. These are songs or things that have to do with the word word. A Tribe Called Quest collabos or comedians in hip-hop music videos. So you are going to get 90 seconds to answer five questions in one of these categories. You get to choose, Syph.
I know I probably should do comedians, but I don't think I would get it right. I think I'm going to go Tribe Called Quest collabs.
All right. So he's doing Tribe Called Quest collabs. So here's the rules. I'm going to go over real quick for you, Syph. You have 90 seconds to answer five questions in the category. If you don't know the answer, we can skip and then go back to it. So you can say pass.
Okay.
If you get it wrong, the question is burnt and it's done. And okay. You can rely on the chat. You know, the chat sometimes knows what they're talking about. I have OC's time's up here and his time's in 90 seconds. So when the time is up on OC, your time will be up. So are you ready to do this?
I just want to say one thing first.
Please.
This show is absolutely amazing. It's phenomenal what you're doing. And I just want to make sure I say that in the middle and not at the end. This is fucking amazing. Go.
Thank you so much. Help us get a TV deal. Okay, so you're going to have 90 seconds, and these are not multiple choice. I'm just going to say that. 90 seconds, Tribe Called Quest collabos. Here we go. Ali Shaheed Muhammad co-wrote and co-produced this D'Angelo single.
Pass.
Okay, he's going to pass. How many full-length Tribe LPs does Busta Rhymes appear on?
I'll say three.
Three is incorrect. It was four. Q-Tip appears on this 2001 Jay-Z single.
Jeez. Pass.
He's going to pass. All right. Fife Dawg drops a verse on the opening song to this group's diamond-selling 1994 album.
Who? Fife?
Fife. Opening verse on a diamond-selling album by this group in 1994. I'll give you a clue. It's not a hip-hop group.
Okay, pass.
All right, he's passing. Which A Tribe Called Quest album features the highest number of credited guests?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'll say Midnight Marauders.
Midnight Marauders is incorrect. We're going to go back to the first question. Ali Shaheed Muhammad co-wrote and co-produced this D'Angelo single.
It's early on. Is it Brown Sugar?
Brown Sugar is correct. All right, Q-Tip appears on this 2001 Jay-Z single. 2001, Jay-Z.
2001. Why can't I think of it? Girls, girls, girls.
That is correct. I'll give you that, and your time is up. So, okay, Fife, we're going to go through what you got. Brown Sugar, Ali Shaheed Muhammad. Busta Rhymes is on four Tribe albums. He's on Low End Theory, Midnight Marauders, Love Movement, and the last one. We got it from here. Thank you for your service.
Love Movement. I don't listen to Love Movement. That's what I got. That's what I fucked up.
And who could blame you? Who could blame you? No, it's got some cuts. It has some cuts. Fife Dawg appeared. He dropped a verse on the opening song on TLC's
album. TLC?
In 1994. A lot of people forget that.
I forgot about that. TLC.
Fife with the diamond record, you know? And then the A Tribe Called Quest that features the most guest vocals is the last one. We got it from here. Thank you for your service. 12 guests. Andre 3000, Kendrick Lamar, Kanye.
I realized that after I said it. I'm going to tell you what messed me up.
Tell me.
Midnight Marauders album cover.
Lot of faces.
Yeah.
But, you know, not everybody was making it on the album. But that's what messed me up. So, Syph, I'm going to total up your score really quick. While I do that, our question that we always like to ask people, who do you challenge to come on the show next? Who's somebody that you know that we should reach out to? Don't say Jay-Z, because we would obviously love to get Jay-Z, but I don't think we have a line to Jay-Z, unless, you know, you have a line to Jay-Z. But who's somebody that you think we should get to come on this show who would do well?
I mean, I want to say Dave Chappelle, but he doesn't do stuff like this. Have you gotten Talib Kweli?
No, Bun B was on the show last week, and he mentioned Kweli, so we're trying to reach out to him.
I like Talib Kweli. I'm trying to think of nerds, hip-hop nerds.
Yeah, there's plenty of them.
I would also, you know who got a lot of hip-hop knowledge? Michael Che.
Michael Che, man, I'm such a huge fan of his. I love his shit.
I would try to get Michael Che. I could probably get him for you.
Hey, if you want to try to connect that, we'd love to have him. So, Syph, you got 9 out of 15. That last round kicked your ass a little bit. But no matter what, you are still a champion in our eyes. But 9.
That's not. I'm upset.
You know, we are happy to have you back. We're gonna start doing head to head battles on our Twitch, where we have guests go. So, you know, maybe we could have you versus Che, or you know, versus.
I need that. I need to clean my soul. 9, that's not good.
No, I mean, but still respectable. And we got some good stories out of you. Do you have time to answer a couple questions from our chat? We have some questions here.
Yeah, I got time. I'm just wallowing in my misery right now.
Well, we're going to snap you out of it. Listen, we're very happy to have had you on the show, and you did great. You know, don't be too hard on yourself. We have a question. What rapper do you think could most easily cross over to stand-up?
There's a lot, but I'm going to say this for... I'm going to say Styles P. The only reason why I say that is because Styles P came to one of my early comedy shows, and I invited him on stage, and he ripped me to shreds.
Was this a UCB show?
No, it was before I was doing the UCB show. Okay. When I was trying to invent that whole improv, hip-hop improv style, he came on stage at this club I used to do called Comics, and he was so funny, everyone thought that he did stand-up. I don't know what it was, and you wouldn't think he's, you know, South P is hard, man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he was so fucking funny, so funny.
He does do that podcast with the It's the Real Guys, too, so, you know, yeah. I feel like he might be inching his way closer into the comedy sphere.
Yeah. For real.
It feels like a good transition career-wise. Like, you know, maybe you don't want to rap for the rest of your life, but you still want to, you know, to be a rapper, you kind of do have to be very witty and funny. I think that they're a lot closer.
If Biggie was alive, I would say Biggie. Biggie, me and Che talk about this all the time. Biggie was so funny. It's why his rap was so witty. Yo, if Faith have kids, she probably have 2 Pacs. Get it?
2 Pac? Yeah.
The guy fucked your wife. You're cracking jokes about it.
The level of self-deprecation there also was rarely seen at that time by rappers, but comedians are all about self-deprecation. Like, that's their shit. Okay, let's see. We got some more. Go-to snack during quarantine. We're getting a little personal here. What is your go-to quarantine snack?
Well, I lost 37 pounds in quarantine.
Wow. So
my snack game was actually reversed. I was doing, on treat days, I would do cauliflower pizza.
Wow.
I was doing cauliflower pizza.
A lot of people, you know, we had Questlove on the show a couple weeks ago, and he's lost a significant amount of weight as well. So it's really dope to see people, you know, like, actually taking care of themselves in a time where our health is paramount.
But, like, I'm a snack guy. I love snacks. So, like, you can go on and on about these exotic bakeries in New York and snacks in the world. I'm good with mint Oreos, man. Just mint Oreos.
I'm more of a double stuff guy myself. I was just going to say,
they need to double stuff the mint.
Yeah. I mean, you could just eat 2 at once. But it's just that you're getting more crunch than you really signed up for. It's
what
about,
I do.
Yeah.
What I do. double stuff is not actually double stuff. It's 1.74.
Really?
Yeah.
Another fun Oreo tidbit from anybody who has ever dabbled with veganism. Oreos are technically vegan. So when you're trying out veganism, you're like, oh, this is great. I'll just eat Oreos. And then
the Oreos.
You know, it's not a good look. All right. We have a couple more questions here. Let's see. What is your favorite Dilla production and why? Are you a big Dilla guy? I don't think you are.
I get... I get abused for this a lot. I'm not a Dilla guy. I feel like when you're a RZA Premier guy as much as I am, Dilla slips through, and it's like, I appreciate him. I do love his music, but I'm not like those fanatics.
Sure.
So if I had to pick one, it's normally like something commercial. Like I don't even want to disrespect the guy.
All right, that's fine. We don't.
I like the working on it. Working on it.
Oh yeah.
Working on it. But like everyone tells me, go listen to Slum Village album. I liked it. I don't love it.
It didn't grab you. It didn't grab you in that same way.
It doesn't grab me. I don't know. Maybe I'm too New York. That's what I think people think. I'm too New York. But then Q-Tip is too New York, and he loves it, obviously. So does Busta.
Right.
There was just something about, I was talking to Common about it, not to name drop, but Common was in Dave Chappelle's show in Ohio. And I was like, yo, I'm not this huge Dilla fan. Like, what is it? And him and Questlove were breaking down how dope he was, and they did make me appreciate him a lot more.
Right.
But I'm just not the fanatic. There's something sonically that doesn't grab me. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. People have their own hip-hop blind spots. They have their own preferences and tastes to those things, too.
It's not fine. People get very upset with it.
Well, I'm saying it's fine. You're in a safe space right now. I can't. When you get out of the car, I can't promise you you're going to be safe. These Dilla heads are the Dilla hive, you know? But it's fun. And it's cool that they broke it down to you and they explained it to you. I assume they also later broke your tires so you couldn't leave that night. They like drive off with the Dilla sirens or something. All right. DJ Synapse has any Mobb Deep stories. I'm sure you have some Mobb Deep stories.
So many. I love Mobb. I saw, just quickly, I was in Miami with Mobb Deep and I saw a Prodigy punch a sound man that was like at least a foot taller than him. Punch him in the face. He said, hey, come here. Like he wanted to whisper something in his ear. And he made the guy come down and probably just punched him in the face.
Damn, son.
My favorite Mobb Deep story is the creation of Quiet Storm. I was in a studio. So mind you, this is Funkmaster Flex wanted me to take a bunch of dope hip-hop album cuts that didn't have clean versions and make clean versions. Yeah. Like Snoop Dogg Ain't No Fun and like Raekwon album cuts. That back then they didn't do clean versions for everything the way they do now.
Sure.
So I had to go into an actual real recording studio and hire an engineer that knew how to work Pro Tools before I knew how to do it and do clean versions. He still plays them to this day.
Wow.
Next door, Prodigy was next door, and the White Lines bass line that is the Quiet Storm record played the entire time I was there. Through the wall was just, and it was, yo, all, it was slowed down White Lines. And I was like, who is in there?
Like, right.
They having hours, no stop. The only time it would stop is because it would get to the end and then Pro Tools would start it over or whatever. Then months later, I went in there, I spoke to Prodigy, we were talking, it was great. I was like, what's this song? He goes, it's for my solo album.
Oh.
For my solo album. That's why Havoc is not on the original version. Months later, it somehow ended up on a Clue tape.
Okay.
No hook. I took the Clue tape, put it on a DAT tape, because we had a DAT player in the tunnel.
Okay.
And I would play it. I would play that song in the tunnel. People from Loud Records that used to just hang out there were like, what is this Prodigy song? And I'm like, I heard Prodigy making it, and then I heard it on a Clue tape, one verse, and I would just play it. They went back to the label and made Prodigy make it a Mobb Deep song because Mobb Deep album was about to come out, and that's why Havoc only does like a very small hook.
Right.
The hook wasn't even there.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, you're the type of guest that we'd love to have on a show like this because you just have so many stories because you've been there for so much. It's amazing. It's amazing to hear all that.
Prodigy heard me play it in the tunnel and was like, how did you get this? I'm like, it's off. I had to I kind of sampled the part so that Kool's voice wouldn't be on it.
You kind of like edited around it. So
yeah, I like sampled it, put it in my MPC, and then like did like a pause tape to take Kool's voice off.
That's like the early version of cropping somebody out of a photo when you don't want to bring the photo. Get out of there. That's a crazy story. It cut to Busta Rhymes standing in the doorway with the reel that he brought. He's like,
very first sounds.
Hey, Syke, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. We had a blast. Thank you so much. Is there anything you want to promote to the people, let people know what you have coming up?
If I would have got 10 or more, I would say follow me on Instagram, but I'm a loser.
Don't listen to him.
No joke, man. This is an amazing thing you put together here. The love for hip hop is real, and the amount of effort you put into making this show, man. So please continue on. I definitely want to do more. And just follow me at Cypher Sounds. And hopefully one day when the world comes back to work, you'll see me around.
Absolutely.
Catch me at some weird backyard show with 18 people that I got to do now just so I can work.
Amazing. Yeah, you're making it work however you have to make it work. So, Syke, thanks again. Be safe. Have fun. Enjoy the wings if you're still eating them. And we'll get you back. We'll bring you
back.
Why
did I say all for one?
You got too excited. You had that primo stretch spirit in you. Don't dwell on it. You're going to have a great night. Have fun. Don't dwell on it.
I'll be back.
Big shouts to Cypher Sounds for doing the show back in 2020. Is it weird to thank someone for something that they did almost 4 years ago? Whatever. I did it. No time for looking back. It's done. A special thank you again to the Questions Hip Hop Patreon members. Salute to the mighty Rob Van Vranken for editing this episode, and to Midas the Beast and Czarism for making the theme song. The Questions Hip Hop Podcast is a part of the Stony Island Audio Podcast Network, and it will be back next week with another episode. See you then. Stony Island Audio.